falling to the ground and die. Dear brothers and sisters, Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." As written in the verse, there are many amazing instances in nature that acknowledges God's existence. Unlike animals, God gave humans the ability to think and understand. If people have even a little bit of goodness, they'd see the living God and His works through the providence of nature and realize God's amazing grace. So, nobody at the judgment day can make any excuses for their unbelief, saying, "I couldn't believe God because I didn't know Him." In today's passage, John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus uses the ordinary providence of nature as a parable to teach God's deep and mysterious truth. The phrase, "If a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it bears much fruit," is part of the laws of nature known and acknowledged by farmers and knows without farming experience. But this message contains an important spiritual meaning. A grain of wheat means Jesus Himself. It refers to Jesus coming to this earth to truly die and bear much fruit. And like Jesus, we can also bear much fruit if we die according to the will of God with truth. May these messages be life and power so that we will be able to bear much fruit and become believers who bring great joy to God. Dear brothers and sisters, let's look at the process of germination where a grain of wheat dies to bear much fruit. For a seed to sprout, it requires the appropriate amount of water, temperature, and air. If these conditions are met, a transformation occurs within the seed. The seed begins to sprout and the roots start to grow, showing signs of life. But the important thing to remember is that for a seed to sprout and take root, it must die on its own. Seeds contain nutrients. After a seed sprouts and takes root, it takes nutrients from outside. But before that, a seed has to take root and grow the first pair of leaves, with its own nutrients. So, for a seed to act as a source of nutrients, it needs to die and lose its original form. But that's not all. And as new life is created from the death of the seed, it can produce much fruit. Despite being a familiar natural providence, this is truly a mysterious process. At first glance, seeds look as though they are dormant and without life, but within an appropriate environment, life begins for the seed. As it dies on its own, a new life grows and produces much fruit. We can feel the divinity of God through this process. This principle also relates to our faith. But if a seed refuses to die on its own despite being in appropriate conditions for germination, what would become of the results? Everyone, when I was back in my childhood, we had this subject, nature, which is science. During that nature class, we learned about the plants. We heard the explanation of how a seed grows, and we also get a home assignment that we have to plant a seed and make it grow at our homes. And we bought a flower pot, bought some seeds, and put some soil in that flower pot and planted seeds and placed in our homes. And we placed it near our window sill so that we can get sunlight. And we waited for the seed to sprout. And with anticipation, we had such anticipation, and we were anxious. And I even wonder whether the seed was dead. So I even took out the seed to find out what happened to the seed, because I anxiously took it out. The seed stopped growing because I was anxious. I did that. But you know, once the seed sprouts, because I was anxious, I ended up like that. The same goes for spiritual change. If we wonder, why am I not being changed quickly? Also, when we share the gospel, if we think like, why isn't that person changing? Why doesn't he accept the gospel? Then we cannot bear the fruit. Even though we don't know when we will bear fruit, we have to do our duties. Then, at an appropriate time, God will allow us to bear fruit. The same goes for us. Even though we try to put ourselves to diet, but if we insist on ourselves, if we wonder why we are not bearing fruit quickly, but we have to learn from this message for a seed to sprout and grow, and there are some conditions. There are conditions like soil, sunlight, and water, and you sow seeds. But if these conditions are not met, I mean, seed has to die. Unless the seed dies, it remains alone. And unless the seed dies, it cannot grow into some plant. And neither will it bear any fruit. Seed has to die completely. If a leaf sprouts but the seed doesn't completely die, it lacks the nutrients to grow properly and eventually dies out. These laws of nature equally apply in the spiritual world. As said previously, a grain of wheat refers to Jesus. Then how did Jesus completely die? Records of this can be found in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 through 10 tells us, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth." If Jesus hadn't completely died, he would have complained on the cross, saying, "Father, why should I suffer like that? It's so painful." He could have said that. He could have come down from the cross. Then he wouldn't have completely died. He didn't. And let's say he complained during his suffering, then he wouldn't have completely died. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. He silently suffered As written in the verses, Jesus unfairly suffered great oppression despite being innocent of any sin. Like a silent sheep, he did not open his mouth. But normal people feel hatred and pain if others try to frame or harm for no apparent reason. If you hate and quarrel with those who didn't try to kill you physically, but only gossiped or tried to put you down with words, then you have yet to understand the true meaning of putting yourself to death. Because you remain alive, you complain, you quarrel, and gossip. But our Jesus never did so. He put himself to complete death. And verses 8 through 10, right? By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with the rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Through Jesus' death, God's will and providence were fulfilled. God allowed this thing happen. As God, was this because Jesus was a sinner? It was part of God's love and His providence to redeem mankind. But men didn't understand that, and people thought that He died because He was a sinner. They didn't know that Jesus died for all mankind. People judged and condemned Jesus, but Jesus didn't harbor resentment against them, but he silently accomplished God's will, and he completely put himself to death. That's why he became our Savior. You know, complete death, putting yourself to complete death, this is what we have to do. Through Jesus' death, God's will and providence were fulfilled. Many people have transformed from sinners to the righteous and have been led onto the way of heaven from the path to hell. But to produce these abundant fruits, Jesus had to die completely. It was also not a peaceful death. Even before crucifixion, Jesus endured great humiliation and sufferings in the hands of God's creatures. He was spat on, kicked, whipped, topped with a crown of thorns, nailed through hands and feet, and subjected to all kinds of ridicule. Jesus still bore the cross and died completely, regardless of any shame. If Jesus had kept himself alive, he couldn't have endured the suffering silently. Because if he had been haughty, he didn't say like, "I am suffering like this. Why don't you understand my love? Why are you pointing fingers at me?" Jesus never said so. He interceded for those who hated him, who judged and condemned him. He offered up a prayer of intercession, a prayer of love. That's how he put himself to complete death. The reason was Jesus was convinced that if a grain of wheat fell to the ground and died, much fruit will be born, and that many people would be saved through his death. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured a cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God." What does the joy set before him mean? It refers to the joy of love experienced when sinners going down a path of eternal death are saved. It's the joy of being able to make God the Father happy by fulfilling His will. It's also the joy of Jesus becoming the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords through His own death. The forefathers of faith in the Bible, like Moses and Apostle Paul, had such hope for heaven and were able to die completely for the kingdom of God, regardless of any humiliation. So, if we truly have faith, we must not become discouraged no matter the difficulties or hardships that face us while doing God's work. We need to have faith and hope. For God's kingdom and righteousness, and for the sake of our brothers and sisters' faith, we need to be able to rejoice, be thankful, and die completely, even if humiliated. Dear brothers and sisters, then in what areas and ways should we die? First, our ego, known as the self, must die. Why does our self need to die? This is because our ego differs from the truth, God's words and heart. Most of our ego belongs to the untruth. Since birth, people learn from their parents and siblings. Humans accumulate knowledge, habits, and values based on what they see, hear, and experience from various environments like school, friends, or third parties. The knowledge, habits, and values accumulated forms the ego or the self. But as everyone's self is based on different people, environments, and teachings, each person's thoughts and what they think is right differ. Much of the knowledge used to form ourself contradicts the truth. A person's manners and common sense can also vary depending on his country and ethnicity. When 10 people gather, all those 10 people have different thoughts. Even if they have similar thoughts, they change. If it's of no benefit. So it's important not to insist that your opinion or yourself is always right. You may think something is a courteous act, but others may think it isn't. They may have a good reason to believe so, despite you not understanding it from your own perspective. Before knowing the truth, it was difficult for us to understand others, so we easily judged, argued, and hated. It's because we lived without dying. We can see much of the knowledge and many of the ideas learned in the world are wrong when compared to the true truth, the Word of God. Only the Word of God is eternal and unchanging truth. By the way, you accepted Jesus Christ. And the knowledge you acquired, does that change into truth all of a sudden? No. As you live your Christian life, let's say you live a long Christian life, then does your knowledge change into truth automatically? No. If you don't make efforts to put yourself to death, even if you lived a Christian life for dozens of years, for some people live longer than the days they lived out in the world. Some people are born as like they believed in God since their birth. You know, and you have to shatter untruth in the truth. You have to pray and fast and make efforts to shatter them. You have to shatter your ego, shatter yourself. But people don't like to do that. Because people live as the man of soul, and because they have their soul as a master, because the soul wants to become the master, and the soul doesn't want to give up its position of a master. So people want to have their self or ego alive. in the church, people have different thoughts. Each person has different thoughts. And people wonder, why is he hating me? Why is he acting that way? This is all, this could be judgment. But people just hate others and because they have their self remaining. Even if another person intentionally harasses you, if you put yourself to death, it doesn't matter. Once your spirit leaves your body is silent. But if you have yourself alive, or if you see a person who doesn't like you, you feel distressed, and you try to explain yourself, and you cause misunderstanding and quarrels. This is all because you have yourself remaining. But if you put yourself to death, you truly become alive in the Lord, and the Lord is at work in you, and you can bear fruits. But if you insist on having yourself alive, you cannot bear perfect fruit. You have to remember this. Just because you accepted the Lord doesn't mean you put yourself to death. You have to go through the process of putting yourself to death. Then how can we... how can our self die? We must fight against the sin within us. As people meet God and accept Jesus Christ while living in the world, the truth they hear knocks on the door to their hearts. The more they open their heart, the more the truth sets in. This is when the fight against sin begins. This is because the truth, which is the Word of God, and what have shaped their self, collide. But if you have faith, you will be able to deny yourself as you believe God's word to be right rather than your thoughts and theories. It's about obeying and acting according to the truth, not according to your feelings and thoughts. Let's say someone hates you and harasses you. And then you hate him back, but the worldly people don't consider it a fault. Let's say your pride is hurt. Even when your pride is hurt, the worldly people don't say it is a fault. But the Bible says that it is an evil. The Bible teaches that even if someone harasses us, we have to ignores us. We have to serve others. The truth tells us this. The truth is totally different from what the world teaches us. But we have to follow the truth. But we feel upset because our heart is pride and we begin to hate others. This is because we have ourselves alive. But if the process of putting ourselves to death is shattering our ego, what about our shepherd? After meeting God and reading the Bible, the shepherd learned that he had to love even his enemies. This is the truth. So, as you read the Bible, he found that the truth collides with itself. You know, senior pastor had been sick for 7 years. He was greatly hurt by his families and relatives. So he thought, because he harbored resentment against them, he had thoughts like, even if I'm sick like this, I cannot say anything. But if I get killed, I will. But he had a little bit of goodness. But I want to get even with them, and he would have become rich, and he would become he thought about he would become rich and would get even with them, and so that's how he could overcome day after day with such thoughts in mind. So he had such He harbored such hatred and resentment in his heart. But as he believed in God and read the Bible, he found himself colliding with the Word of God, the truth. But the senior pastor prayed, senior pastor didn't give up. He thought about God who saved him when he was at the threshold of death. And this God told him to love even his enemies. So he followed the truth and he prayed, holding on to that word. And he prayed, Father, I have a hatred. I have a resentment. I also wanted to get even with them. So I want to remove such a heart. Even though he prayed, it didn't go away immediately because it was such feelings piled up over a long period of time. And, you know, Senior Pastor also thought that it was righteous to get even with people. It was not easy to shatter such ideas and thoughts, but he prayed with tears and he reflected on himself with the Word of God, and he prayed and prayed and cried out in prayer. And as a result of piling up such prayer many, many times, Father God helped him remove his hatred and resentment from his heart. And he explained in detail how he removed such feelings. He had an awakening from the Spirit, and the Spirit gave him an awakening, saying, the Spirit enlightened him on the situation where his relatives and families had no choice but to hate him. So that's how he began to understand, put themselves in their shoes. And because his wife was sick, his wife's family naturally hated him. So he tried to put himself into their shoes with prayer, and that strengthened him to understand their heart. So all the resentment and hatred melted away, and he began to feel sorry and apologetic towards them. This is how you put yourself to death. If you that's how he removed such ill feelings and replaced them into the hearts of truth. When we find that our thoughts, theories, and actions contradict God's word, which is the truth, we need to immediately admit that we are wrong. We also need to fight to rid ourselves of what are wrong and change them into the truth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against it. This Bible used the word fighting and striving because sins are not cast off easily. When we fight against sin, we need to fight hard. We need to fight hard. We shouldn't fight it half-heartedly. The verse shows us how fiercely we are to fight against sins to remove untruth from our heart. Untruth in our heart can't be removed by simply repenting once or twice. Simply by repenting with tears once or twice, it requires sweat and fervent cries and prayer. Some people may misunderstand after they committed a great sin, and they get stricken with a disease or an accident, because they have their issues, because they have their problems, and to resolve their problems, and they learn that they have to break down the wall of sin, and because they learn that it is the way, repenting is a way to be healed or receive resolutions. And then they experience God's grace, and then they receive the resolution of their problems or healing of diseases, and they repent. that doesn't mean their original roots of sins are removed. They still have that original sinful nature. They still have that sinful natures. What they committed in the past. That's. Let's say you hate someone and you repent and receive forgiveness, but when another person bothers you, you still have the sinful nature of hatred. So you have to keep praying to cast off the sinful natures even after you have your problems resolved by God. Such efforts are needed and required of you. Efforts are required. That's how you completely cast off sins, and that's how you fight against sins. But some people, after they repent and then repent, and they receive for the resolution of their problems or healing of disease, and then. But in addition to that, we have to hang on to God to completely cast off the roots of sins. And you need to show such deeds. When you strive to fight against sins, God recognizes your efforts and sends down grace and a baptism of fire to burn the sinful natures so you can have the strength to cast off sins. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can rid yourself of the sinful natures within and begin to resemble the Lord's heart. The more the sinful nature combined with the body is burned, the more you become a spiritual person, not a fleshy person. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 tells us, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." This is what it means for the self to die. There are stages when the self dies. In the first level of faith, where you just accepted the Lord, you are to listen to the Word and make efforts to dispel doubts about the unbelievable. You need to make efforts to dispel doubts about the unbelievable words, wonders, and signs of God. Until the second level of faith, it's important to discover the deeds of the body that are contrary to the Word of God and discard them. In the third level of faith, the more you discover the things of the flesh and work hard to throw them away, the more your ego or self dies. In doing so, you can resemble the image of God. But most people standing on the rock of faith or above live according to the Word of God. So it's difficult to discover the self still present within. The same went for Job. Job didn't commit sins outwardly, didn't commit evil outwardly. He feared God. So he had his self-righteousness and he had his self remaining. So he insisted on himself. He hadn't realized about himself. You know, this happened when, and this is about people who stand on the rock of faith or above. This is the self-righteousness and frameworks shaped for the truth instead of untruth. Let's say you cast off irritation or anger, but when you see other people showing anger and irritation, as you have stopped committing sins in these, you change yourself a lot, but you still have fleshly thoughts, still have evil thoughts, and you don't understand. And people who are standing on the rock of faith or above, they still have evil thoughts remaining. They have momentary thoughts or evil thoughts, and they have to hold on to them in prayer and hang on to God. But because they know that their evil has decreased a lot, and so they don't hang on to God earnestly. So
That's why they become stagnant before they come in the Spirit. So we are, that's why you cannot discover yourself. Some people, after they come in the Spirit, they create a framework of goodness. That's why, I mean, but when a grain of wheat dies, the contents within provide nutrients and its covering rots away, leaving no form. Similarly, it's important the contents that form the self change into truth and the frameworks of self-righteousness and goodness be removed. Only then can we be called a new creature who's accepted the Lord and cast off old habits. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Self-righteousness frameworks are old habits from the world that have shaped us. So, if we accept Jesus as our Savior, we need to change ourselves into the truth by listening to the Word of God. It's important to acknowledge that not everything we say is right. Some can be right and some can be wrong. Since only the Word of God is the truth, our ego and life experiences that have molded us must be changed into the truth. If you throw away even the areas not classified as sin, but behavioral issues or deficiencies of the body, you can die completely and become a man of God, filled with only with the Lord. When we listen to the Word of God, we can discover the evil and untruth in our hearts as the fight against sins and the fight to change to truth begins. We can see two main types of people. The first types of people zealously fight against sin to the point of shedding blood, cast off every form of evil, and fill themselves with the truth because they have faith and hope. They are obedient people. They can change quickly as they think, speak, and act based solely on the Word instead of insisting on themselves with excuses. The second type is those who can't persevere in the spiritual battle of fighting against his total point of shedding blood. They give up or turn from the truth. As the self of these people can't die, God's word doesn't align with their thoughts and theories. They end up leaving the truth for their own interests. Some people leave saying that the church is wrong because we emphasize wonders and signs here. But it's actually a good thing for miracles or signs and power to be manifested in any church. Wonders, signs, and power follow wherever the Lord, the prophets, and the people of God went. This is no reason to live. Some believers don't leave as they've clearly seen the works of God, but they can't put themselves to death because they hear and learn the word but not obey. Then would it be more comfortable to live with old habits and compromise with the world? It's harder because of their learned truth. Every time you hear the word, it pricks your guilty conscience because you can't act by the word. You have no joy or zeal. This is the same as not fighting against sins and when we die each day and fill ourselves only with the truth, we can receive God's love and praise. Through those who die like this, God receives the accompanying glory and allows us to reap much fruit. Dear brothers and sisters, Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We are well aware that how much fruits were born through Apostle Paul, who died completely and lived only by faith. So how much have you died and how much fruit have you borne? The more you die, the more fruit you produce. Those who put themselves to death with the Spirit would have come into Spirit, and whose Spirit those who put themselves to death, those who put their flesh to death with the Spirit would have come into Spirit and whole Spirit, I mean, may you humbly examine yourself. How much of a dying grain of wheat have you become? Or have you remained a hard grain of wheat as you don't want to die? You need to reflect upon yourself. If you truly have hope for heaven and long for a more beautiful place in heaven, you won't destroy the flesh, self-righteousness, and flaming words within. Then you can be reborn as spirit. So don't hesitate or put your hesitate to put yourself to death. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11 says, it is a trustworthy statement. For if we die with him, we will also live with him. I pray in the name of the Lord that your perishable flesh will die completely so that you will resurrect with a good spiritual heart and abundantly produce beautiful spiritual fruits.
Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All dementia, all the mental diseases go away. All the paralysis go away. Let them get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scar left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves and tissues and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, the voice of Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, and the evil forces of heavenly places and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false and deceitful spirits, disappointing spirits, all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and their families become evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervent to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink, or whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying you, Father God. Let him be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received his answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.